You are listening to A Minute of Your Time, a podcast helping entrepreneurs legally protect their passion and profits. I am Shay M. Lawson Esquire, your host, and I am an IP attorney with over 10 years of experience helping entrepreneurs and entertainment professionals legally protect and scale their businesses to the next level. And that is exactly what this podcast is all about. On each and every episode, I will give you tips and resources for you to be able to grow your profits and protect and create a legacy that is one that you will have for generations with your business. I will pull stories from the headlines, and we will also have a social minute that as we grow and impact our businesses, we are also growing and impacting our communities and taking just a minute to be the change we want to see around us. I'm so happy to have you here. If you have not subscribed yet, please do leave a review on Apple Podcasts. And if you're on Anchor FM, drop me a voice note. Without any further ado, let's go ahead and hop on into this week's episode. Welcome to episode 27 of the Minute of Your Time podcast. I am continuing the CEO mindset series, and I'm going to stay here for quite a while because there is such a shift happening right now in entrepreneurial spaces. So many people have found such success in 2020. Their businesses have really taken off, and there's so many questions. And my clients and my network have found success in their spaces that I want to share with you as you make your journey. We can go so much farther together. So if I can be a resource, I want to be it. And I definitely think that some of the people that I know and some of the clients that I have just crossed so many barriers, accomplished so much that I know that there is value here for you. And so continuing on this series, on today's episode, I am speaking with Kiana Smith Bruntino. She is an award-winning creative director and digital marketer. She has a two-time Shorty Award winner. She is a YouTube Silver Creator Award recipient, but she is also the founder of the American Influencer Council, which is the first not-for-profit member trade association for influencers, and she serves on its board of directors. Prior to that, she established the social media department at Saks Fifth Avenue, the United States Tennis Association, and held senior editorial roles at Nordstrom and Time Inc. She just has so much experience and insights that she is going to share on today's episode about setting up and running operations, managing content, enterprising your business, and really building out in a very intentional and impactful way. That I can't wait for you to hear what she is going to share today. I will have a link for you to be able to get in touch with Kiana in the show notes, as well as the American Influencer Council. But if you are one of those people who, like Kiana, you are associated with a great organization, she was with Saks, she was with Nordstrom, she was with Time Inc., U.S. Tennis Association, right? These really great corporate opportunities that may bring us stability, that may widen our network, works for the things that we are passionate about, and really understanding, can I make this work? Do I need to take the leap? And what steps do I need to take when I do feel like it's time for me to take the leap to explore entrepreneurship full time? And I am going to talk about taking the leap and the steps that Kiana took in her leap in today's episode. So please enjoy, and I'm not going to hold it up any further. I'm going to hop right on into the interview. Welcome to the show, Kiana.
Thanks so much for having me, Shay. It's a pleasure.
I am super excited to have you on to continue this CEO mindset series. And I have this entire list of people that I wanted to talk to. And you were the first email that I sent out when I was like, okay, Shay, you got to get back on these episodes, because I've definitely had like a little lull. And I
something that made me say, okay, I got to talk to Kiana first, is because there's this subset of audience members that I have and followers on social media where they are very successful in the corporate space. They are aligned with amazing organizations. They have high six-figure salaries, but they also have these really successful kind of entrepreneurial endeavors, these businesses that they are growing. And there is this fear of taking the leap. And when you and I connected about doing the Lunch and Learn panel on morality clauses for influencers, when America Influencer Council did their first Lunch and Learn series, what caught my ear, and I was like, I have to circle back to you, was you saying that you had previously been at Saks. And it's like, yeah, you know, that's a dream job.
It was a dream.
Think like, oh my gosh, like she worked there and now you have American Influencer Council. So I want to take our listeners through that journey. And so where I want to start off at is, tell us about AIC and what you guys do there, what the organization does as a whole, and specifically what you do.
Yeah, so the American Influencer Council, we are a new trade organization that launched on Global Social Media Day at the end of June. And we are the sole 501c6 not-for-profit membership trade association in America, led by and for career creators. And we really launched at a pivotal time, especially in COVID conditions. I think that this is a year that people realize the power of community and strategic alliances. And it's also a time that creators understand, you know, their bargaining power, you know, what it means to be, you know, a professional influencer. I think that there is the barrier of entry into social media is very easy. You know, anyone can create a social media account, but to be, you know, a professional and a micro publisher, you know, producing on-demand content at a premium level, and, you know, doing it full time is only, you know, a small percentage of people are able to achieve that. And, you know, they want to be recognized for that. And, you know, I think looking at how the space has evolved, you know, the industry is loosely regulated and there aren't, you know, standards like you have in other industries, say, you know, in journalism or even if you get more technical, you know, even as a profession like, you know, dentistry or, you know, hair or cosmetology, you know, there is a level of education or certification, you know, anyone can sort of jump into the influencer space. And so the AIC, you know, we really started to, you know, help establish the standards necessary to improve and promote, you know, those working professionals in the influencer marketing industry. And so it's been an exciting journey so far. We've done a lot. We've done a lot of exciting work through our mission pillars. We signed Howard Schultz, the former CEO and chairman of Starbucks, his restart petition to get creators more accessibility and small businesses access to funding through the Small Business Administration. So we were one of 100 trade associations to do that. We petitioned Congress when Trump issued the executive orders to ban TikTok. We've done a lot of work through our learning and develop mission pillar to have resources for creators, business building tools. We've, as you mentioned, started the Lunch and Learn, our creators in conversation. So we've been active and moving at lightning speed as social media, as you would expect from a group of of a career creator. So it's been exciting and lots of amazing things planned for 2021.
How awesome. First and foremost, congratulations on all of that. That is so cool to hear. And it's just so needed in this space. Like, you are filling such a void. And I think the fact that you are filling such a necessary void is the testament to how fast things are moving and how awesome of accomplishments that you're reaching so quickly is because this is such a necessary void. And so I want to give our listeners a little bit more context. So I touched on it in the very beginning, but talk about what even prepared you to move into establishing AIC. What were you doing previous to this that even had this on your radar and gave you the skills to launch it?
Yeah, so I built and shaped the social media department at the United States Tennis Association, so the US Open, and at Saks Fifth Avenue. And I was at Nordstrom, part of their digital think tank, and worked on the Nordstrom blog. So I've always been in some type of digital role, and I was one of the youngest fashion and beauty editors at Time Inc. And I was at Essence.com, and that was an awesome opportunity. So I've been in publishing. I also managed the social media for season one of a Tyra Bake spinoff for Asia's Next Top Model. So I've been in Asia managing social content for Pan Asia. We were the number one TV show when that aired. And that was, you know, insane and amazing experience. So I've had, you know, a lot of amazing content roles, a lot of international work experience. I also have my master's from the London College of Fashion. So I think because I also started in this space when I was 19, it's kind of like the only thing I've known. But at the USTA and also at Saks, I worked really closely with the CFDA. And the CFDA is a not-for-profit trade association. And at the US Open, I was part of the Association for National Advertisers. And so those experiences really kind of gave me the framework for the power of, you know, a professional, what you can get out of being part of a professional organization. And I was also really involved with socialmedia.org, another premium organization that connects the top Fortune 500 social media directors across the country. And so in these organizations, you share a ton of knowledge, you share experiences. And so when companies are alpha beta testing products at Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook, we're sharing. When you're brokering deals with top influencers and negotiating, you know, we're sharing. And so, you know, in between my network, my professional network, I always found that, you know, tapping into my colleagues to sort of accelerate different things happening in the marketplace, I just loved all of those dynamics. And so thinking about the creator space, when we would meet up at different events or at Fashion Week, or when the algorithm changed in 2018, a lot of creators that I worked with, they did not have this same type of network, or, you know, they didn't have the same type of tools or resources to sort of like figure it out in the way that I did. And I always felt like that was a miss. And so, you know, sitting on my living room floor, I had this idea for the American Influencer Council. I was just like, we need to do something for creators. And so I just started researching. I think, you know, with anything, the more knowledge you have, the more you understand the competitive landscape. You know, influencer marketing is set to be, you know, $15 billion industry by 2022. This industry has always been in an upward incline. And so I've always benefited from this space, allowing me to do out of the box campaigns. You know, I brokered a deal with NASA for the first tennis match in space when I was at the US Open. I've done some incredible work, and it's like, at what point do you want to give back? And so it was just all of these things, a culmination of like wanting to give back, recognizing there's a need for creators to have more market share, to really have a seat at this table when, you know, they don't necessarily have, you know, fair treatment by the platforms, or, you know, they don't necessarily have public, you know, public legitimacy in terms of what they do as a profession. You know, if you think about during right. COVID, you know, so it's just like looking at so many different aspects of it, and then just talking to, you know, my colleagues and say, you know, I have this idea, would you support me, would you want to be involved? And a lot of people saying there's such a need for this, you should do it. And so it was a year of research, legal, putting together a trade association and a not-for-profit is an extraordinary undertaking.
I think that I really want to stop you there, that like you had this idea, you're sitting in your living room, you have this idea that's something that's so shared by so many entrepreneurs, of like you feel this fire in your belly about something, right? Mm-hmm. And but then understanding that there's so many steps to take, you were having all these different conversations. And what caught my ear just now is you saying this was a year worth of conversations and research that really prepared you to have the success that you're having now, because having a trade association is no joke and super complex. Definitely out of my wheelhouse, because I don't do labor or employment at all, which is so much different than any other basic work structure. And so talk to me a bit about, when you're talking about that research and you're talking about the legal, what specific things did you research? What sources did you seek? What were the types of questions that you were asking? Because I find that people have conversations and they'll say, let me pick your ear. Hey, can I do this? But I don't find often that people are asking the right questions. So if you can share with our listeners, what were the questions that you asked in your research, and what were the sources that you sought out in researching building your business?
Yeah. So, you know, I just started, like, I think, you know, when I started the department, the social media department at Saks, I was employee number one. And so, you know, when you're trying to put together a strategy and a framework, you know, I just think about like starting the paid media strategy, like, and building that out and having to put a business case, or even just getting a line item to get, you know, budget for influencer marketing, you have to build a case. And so it was just, you know, like starting basic, what's the market, what's the climate, will creators want to get involved with something like this? And so that was one of the other things, like I needed to tap into creators who felt this, the same kind of like calling of being a social entrepreneur. And so it was also looking at business leaders who built, you know, business models based on this. So like I've always been inspired and admired John McKee, the co-founder of Whole Foods. You know, he pioneered the movement towards conscious capitalism. Or, you know, the founder of Tom's at Nordstrom. Tom's was Nordstrom's really instrumental in helping Tom scale that business into what it is today. And so, you know, Tom's founder, Blake Makowski, he's championed that one-for-one business model. And so I just looked at different entrepreneurs and just how they started a concept. And, you know, when you have a vision, a vision doesn't take flight unless other people will buy into it. And so if you look at the creator space, you have creators who are starting their own products, you know, doing more co-branded lines, you know, who are these creators? What, you know, that consciousness to want to give back to other creators. Because I think of the creator space no different than corporate America, where you have, you know, from coordinator to C-suite, no different than influencer marketing. You have your nano to mega, and everyone is trying to find the tools and the resources and the strategies to climb and to grow. And so trying to also think about all of these, me also being in corporate, you know, I've been very fortunate to start the department and working with chief marketing officers who gave me, you know, carte blanche to really do something new and innovative. And so writing these bylaws and trying to put together something that would benefit, like, why would you want to join the American Influencer Council? What is it in for you? But so many creators started this space when they were really young, and they trialed and erred through it. And so did I, you know, starting a department, I made a lot of mistakes. And so I, of course, have mentored in so many different capacities. Of course, I want to help people not make the mistakes I did. And so I think a lot of people who are involved with the AIC also share that sentiment. And so a lot of the work that we do, like with our learning and development committee, is about education, huge about, you know, influencer marketing degrees. We started our AIC in the classroom program because a lot of professors never worked in our space. A lot, chief innovation officer, those roles are so new. You know, our space is you know, it's hasn't even matured. You know, it's such a new space. So like so many job titles, when I was in college, I never thought I could even be in this space. My BA is political science pre-law. So I just think that
I love it.
So it's just,
I love that. That is so cool because I feel like when people hear about success of organizations or entrepreneurial success, number one, they automatically assume like you have an MBA or you were a bachelor's in like business administration or business management. And it's like, no. I figured out along the way, like I saw a need and I totally fulfilled it. And so like even going on that entire tangent of like, I didn't plan this. This wasn't my major. I saw that there were these needs. Like what are the key skills that you learned in all your different ventures from like US tennis to Tyra to Saks, you know, like what do you think you gained from all this corporate experience that is helping you right now? Like what are like two or three key skill sets that you picked up? Because, and I'm asking you this because I find also that a lot of people almost like frou-frou, I can't find a better word, even though I'm a lawyer, I can't find a better word than frou-frou right now. But they almost shame people for having regular jobs where they expect people just automatically know what it takes to run a business. So what are some of the key skills that you got from your prior experiences that are super clutch right now as you're building out AIC?
You need to be able to communicate an idea and to have like, I knew what the current state of influencer marketing was, but I also knew what my vision and what I see as the future state of this industry is. So, you know, again, with the market analysis, understanding, you know, what are the market conditions, being able to put together a business plan and a financial plan, and, you know, what are, you know, how are you going to be able to grow and scale? So, like, that is very, very important. I think, you know, I've always been very creative, but the analytic side of this, you know, at the US Open, you know, I had, you know, in tremendous ticket selling goals. So I had to learn how to, you know, come up with a structure for paid media of how to, you know, convert. So when I'm running paid campaigns, you know, I have a formula tool that I use that is like, no joke, you tell me your budget and I'm going to tell you how much we need to get to a certain dollar amount. And so I've always hit targets on, you know, for customer acquisition, for driving, you know, retail sell at Saks. So but those were skills I had to learn. You know, you come into a role like early social, it was all about, you know, awareness. You know, then, you know, as things matured, yep, and tools became more available, it was like, Kiana, you need to show business impact. We want ROI. We want to see you moving SKUs. We want to be able to, you need to be able to attribute social media selling, or how are you going to be able to get more budget? And so I had to be able to figure that out. And so, you know, I was very lucky in the beginning of my career to meet the CEO of Track Maven, and he and I spent hours figuring out KPIs and, you know, different ways to report success. And so I'm very skilled with that, but that wasn't something natural. I'd much rather be on a photo shoot producing content than crunching numbers and figuring out ways to get users to convert. But you have to be able to kind of do it all, or you know, what is success if people are not, you know, buying into a product or a service? So, and for me now it's good, you know, membership. How is AIC, you know, successful if I'm not able to get membership or, you know, get people involved with the council? So I think with whatever you do, there has to be a way to define success and value.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And also understanding that how you define success is going to change with your business. And you talked about that a little bit, where you're like, okay, in the beginning, it was all about awareness, but now it's about business impact. And as entrepreneurs, when you are making that shift from, you know, solo to CEO, understanding that what success looks like at the beginning of your business, when you're just a solopreneur with an idea, versus when you're building an entire enterprise, what that success is, what, you know, KPIs you're measuring are going to change, and you have to revisit them year after year after year. And everything that you are saying, I hope that people are like taking notes and taking it in. And so my last question would be that really generic, what advice would you have for someone who is like you, where they are currently having that moment in their living room floor where they have this idea that's burning their belly, or they've already started to build it out and it's generating income, and they're afraid of taking the leap all the way into their entrepreneurial passions? What advice would you have for them?
I would say, you know, at the end of the day, I'm very goal oriented. And so I can't be complacent. So it's like, I had the idea for AIC. And so I started, you know, like writing some things down, and I sat on it, and then it just started to bother me. Like, okay, Kiana, you could watch Netflix, or you could like really do something right now. How are you utilizing your time? Because I think what people don't realize is that there's just not enough time. And then And then, you know, when you look back, how did you spend your time? And I think with COVID, this has really been a wake-up call. You know, how are you, what are you giving your time and energy to? And how is it serving you? You know, is it empowering you? Is it inspiring you? And I think, you know, if you have an idea, don't sit on it, realize it, because life is short.
So for our social minute aspect, we encourage entrepreneurs to not only make an impact in business, but make an impact in the community, in their communities, and in the world around them. Is there a community or charitable cause that is close to your heart? Can you tell us about it and how people can get involved?
Yes. So I just started mentoring in early spring with SCORE, and SCORE provides business advice for startup entrepreneurs across the country. They are one of the oldest mentoring organizations in the United States. It's a network of over 10,000 business experts, and they've helped over 11 million entrepreneurs since 1964. It's an incredible organization, and they're also a resource partner for the Small Business Administration. And so the SBA administers a congressional grant to the different SCORE chapters. And so, you know, if you're an entrepreneur, you have a startup, you know, doesn't matter how long you've been in business, all of the SCORE resources and mentors are free, which is fantastic. One of the directors from the entrepreneurial division suggested that I get involved because they need more people with my knowledge in terms of, you know, website development and digital, you know, expanding your digital footprint and influencers. So I got my mentor certificate in September, and I've been meeting with so many awesome entrepreneurs. I mentor for an hour in the evenings, and it's just awesome. I can't tell you, and the mentors are incredible. I've worked with, you know, executives who've started, you know, Oscar de la Renta shoe business, who, you know, C-suite executives, you know, for major tech companies. You have some of the, you know, incredible thought leaders who are either, you know, retired or, you know, wanting to give back like me. And so it's just an incredible network of thought leaders and, you know, every aspect. So it's broken down into discipline. So you have someone like me who's, you know, in the digital tech discipline. And then you have, you know, if you need help with like financial planning, wealth management, you know, SEO, you name it, there is someone with that expertise. And I've just loved it. I'm just loving it so far. And I highly encourage other, you know, the other entrepreneurs and business leaders who also want to just give back to young people, because I've been mentoring a lot of minority entrepreneurs who don't necessarily have the funding or resources, because that's very important to me, to make sure that, you know, women, African-American women who are starting companies, you know, are able to be set up for success. So if you, someone like you, Shay, who has an incredible background and experience, and so it's score.org/volunteer. And you can sort of, you know, for me, I work during the day, so I ask to volunteer in the evening, and they've been super flexible, like in terms of my schedule, and I just love it.
Awesome. Give us the site one more time, and I'll also be sure to put it in the show notes.
Yeah, so it's www.score.org/volunteer. And there's literally chapters in every city across the country.
Awesome. Thank you for sharing that resource. This is such, I think it's always a great opportunity when you can not just give your resources, but give your time and your talent away. I think there's so many opportunities where we can donate. And I know that financial donations go a really long way, but there's such a secondary level of impact when you are directly mentoring somebody, you're directly pouring into people. So I will definitely look into it and definitely encourage my listeners to do the same. And so that is this week's Social Minute. Again, you can find out about SCORE if you click the link in our show notes. All right, so before I let you go, Kiana, I have to have you participate in one of my favorite aspects of the show, and this is about who you would spend a minute of time. And so the way that this segment came about, or even the name of my podcast, is because as an attorney or a quote-unquote thought leader, people are always like, can I have a minute of your time? Can I just have a minute of your time? And so that's where the concept of the show came up, came from. And so I like to ask my guests, if you could have a minute of time with anybody living or deceased to do anything, who would you ask for a minute of time and what would you do?
So I'm gonna totally share something personal. I started taking guitar lessons in 2017.
Ooh.
Yes, I have a pink paisley Fender, and I absolutely would Jimi Hendrix, hands down. I mean, I'm just obsessed, and I've probably played Hey Joe badly, but he's my favorite electric guitarist. So that's who I'm going for.
Have you been to the EMP? I think it's called something else now, but the EMP Museum in Seattle?
No, I haven't been. And when it was in Seattle, we would walk past that sculpture that he has. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, yes.
Yes, yes. And that's, I normally right now, because of, you know, COVID, not my hair's in a bun, but I normally wear my hair in a mohawk. And I have a Jimi Hendrix jacket. And that's all because I'm just like, I just live for him.
That's so funny. Yeah, no, oh my gosh. I know that it's something else now, but it used to be called the Experience Music Project Museum in Seattle, and they had an entire floor dedicated to Jimi Hendrix. And it was really cool, like stuff I had no idea about, like how at one point he was like with the Isley Brothers and like, I mean, all types of stuff. And so that is really cool. He seemed, from the exhibit at least, he seemed like a really, really cool person. I wish you the best of luck in your in your guitar journey. And I thank,
thank you
so much for joining our show today. Can you please let our listeners know, how can they follow or get involved with AIC, and how can they follow and get in touch with you personally?
Yep. So you can find the AIC online at AmericanInfluencerCouncil.com, and the same is our handle on Instagram, @AmericanInfluencerCouncil. And you can find me on social, Kiana_Smith, and that's the same handle on Instagram and Twitter. And I'm always available to connect on LinkedIn.
Awesome. Thank you so much. And everybody, I will have all of the links to her handles and AIC's handles in the show notes. You can always reach me online at Shay M. Lawson. You can follow minute of your time on Instagram as well. We are MOYT Podcast. That is the handle, MOYT Podcast, no spaces, all together on Instagram. And if you are on Anchor FM, did you know that you can leave us voice notes? So if you enjoyed today's episode with Kiana, if you are thinking of leaving your corporate and taking the leap to do your entrepreneurial endeavors full time, what was the gem in today's episode that connected the most with you? I know that there were a few that connected with me even, and so I am going to come back and wrap the show with a summary in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
Whoa, what an information-packed episode. Again, I want to thank Kiana for coming on the show and sharing her journey. I think that people sometimes see success stories or see successful entrepreneurs and their businesses and think that it's a straight road. And some of the things that really stood out to me was that there were so many different curves and pivots and parts of Kiana's story. And I think that can resonate with each and every one of us. She was a political science major. Hello, fellow poli sci majors, right? And now she is starting a trade association, but in that in-between space, she was an editor. She handled social media. She launched virtual reality campaigns, right? And none of that is really linear, but all of it ended up lining up to put her on this path for impact that she is creating with the American Influencer Council. And what I think is also really meaningful in the messaging of today's episode is that success takes time. Success evolves. Success takes preparation. She had this aha moment in her living room, but then from the time she had that moment where she said, okay, I want to make a bigger impact, there was an entire year period of time where she was doing research, where she was preparing, where she was setting herself up. And I talked a lot about timing and being patient in the Issa Rae episode of making multiple passions make sense. And so here's yet another real life episode of you don't need to be Issa Rae HBO. You can be a regular person with a regular job and say, I want to build out my dream. But part of making that shift and setting yourself up to be CEO is preparing, is doing the research, it's asking the right questions. She started a trade association. She did legal research. She said she did marketing research. She looked into building out the business case. And we are expecting success in our businesses, but are we taking the time to prepare ourselves for the success? Are we taking the time to build the foundation for that success through the things, the little small tasks, the small research, the small conversations that we're having? Or are we expecting this instant six-figure, five-figure launch or six-figure year that we see highlighted on social media reels? The next thing that really stuck out to me is that success evolves, that at the very beginning of your entrepreneurial journey, success may just look like putting out content, putting up your website, getting yourself out there as a business owner. But as it evolves, you need to establish KPIs, and they consistently need to evolve so that you can grow your business and expand your business to truly be an enterprise so that you can shift from solo to CEO. There was so much more. This is definitely a great interview to just go back and listen to. I love the resource that she shared with SCORE. It's score.org/volunteer. If you are interested in mentoring or being mentored, this sounds like an incredible resource that is supported by grants from the Small Business Association. There are just administration, I apologize. And there are just so many resources that I know that I wasn't aware of SCORE, that a lot of us are not aware of as entrepreneurs. And so if there is something out there, we have all now learned a new thing. And there is something out there where either we can give back of our time or we can be poured into as we build our enterprises. So be sure to click the link in the show notes, that score.org. I also have the links for you to connect with the American Influencer Council and Kiana if you are interested in connecting with her directly. I thank you, thank you, thank you for listening. I shared on social media this week my Spotify wrap up, and we have listeners in 4 countries across the world. We did 31 episodes and over 700 minutes of content, and you guys have been here and you have been listening and you have been patient as I have kind of figured this podcasting thing out and continue to learn. So I appreciate you. Feel free to leave me a voice note on anchor.fm or in the comments at MOYT podcast on Instagram. And you can always reach me at Shay M. Lawson on all platforms. And this has been Minute of Your Time.